CliffCentral.com. It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it. And you spend your life putting money in his wallet. Nice to buy, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Nice to buy, yeah, they got you where they want you.
Yeah, Dolly Parton, baby. Didn't your dad love Dolly Parton, Mubs? You grew up listening to her, right?
Both my parents.
Oh, right.
This takes me back to road trip days.
Yeah.
After Dolly Parton, they would then put in the cassette for Neil Diamond. Jesso. Jesso. Then after that, it was Tracy Chapman. Tracy Chapman was good.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Peshitta knew the words to this song, so you're not the only one who's familiar with Dolly.
Oh, yes.
You know it well, huh?
I know it very well.
So you knew every word.
Even Jolene.
Jolene.
Yeah,
Jolene. Jolene. And of course, her most famous song, which was made famous by Whitney Houston, which she made all the money out of, I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
Now, she's quite a singer and writer, this Dolly Parton.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard she can't sleep on her back.
No, of course.
And why is that, Flex?
Because her boobs were so big.
Yes. That's true. My favorite Dolly Parton song is, let me just think, how does it go again? Oh God, it's going to drive me mad now. I've got to look this up, otherwise I'm going to go crazy. There's so many good songs. There's one in particular that I'm thinking of now, which I love. Dolly Parton, what was her most... Mubs, give me a couple of songs and let me see if I can remember which one it is.
Okay, I'm going to have to enlist the help of Google for this one.
That's okay.
I can't remember.
Get into Google. Now I've got 9 to 5 in my head.
Islands in the Stream.
No, that was with Kenny Rogers.
That is what we are.
No one in between.
Okay, we just played 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Coat of Many Colors.
No. I see, just looking her up, she's going to be in rural Canada for her 2016 North American tour. She's not afraid, huh? Rural Canada. Come on, give me some more song titles.
Do I Ever Cross Your Mind?
That's good, but it's not that one.
Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle. Mm-hmm. No. Me and Little Andy.
No.
Eagle When She Flies.
No.
Just When I Need You the Most.
No.
The Day I Fell in Love.
No.
Work, 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 work.
No, that's Rihanna. Yeah.
Letter to Heaven.
Uh-uh.
This guy. But You Know I Love You.
Uh-uh.
Happy Birthday, Happy...
Uh-uh.
Light of a Clear Blue Morning.
Uh-uh.
Before the Next Teardrop Falls.
Mm-mm.
To Know Him is to Love Him.
No.
Better Get to Living.
No.
I Never Cared for You.
No.
Mule Skinner Blues.
Yes, of course. Mule Skinner Blues. How did we know? No, it's not that
I
one.
I can't help you, Gareth.
Oh, come on.
Love is Like a Butterfly.
Love is Like a Butterfly. It's not that one, though, no.
Hard Candy Christmas.
No.
He's Everything.
No.
He Said He Would Call.
No.
Rocking Years.
No.
Ah.
I Thought He Was Bigger.
No. Shut up, Ben. Come on.
No, Gareth, we're done.
Come on, that can't be it.
No, it's not it. But do you know how many we've gone through by now?
Oh, man, this is going to drive me crazy. I need to play this song for you. It's so good. God damn it. Let me see if it isn't on my iPhone. I've got so much crap on here. No, not Akon. Dolly Parton. Ah, here it is. I got it.
Sure. So what you're saying is I didn't need to go through that list.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody, all right? Listen to this. This is a beautiful song, all right? Are you ready? It's a live version.
My next guest was an American Idol long before the show ever existed.
I don't want to hear you, Carrie Underwood. No, wait. I've got to find a better version. God, who knew finding this song was so hard? All right, here we go. This is it. Is everybody ready?
It's better be good.
I've built up the song, right? It better be amazing. If this is crap, no one's ever going to talk to me again. All right, and it's not Jolene.
Yeah, come on!
just like you've done before. Don't you like it? And you wrap my heart round your little finger. Here you come again. Just when I'm about to make it work without you, you look into my eyes and lie those. You're right about her not being able to lie on her back. I mean on her front, by the way.
This is a great theme song for a porno.
Yeah, it's probably right. Here you come again. Yeah, very nice. All right, enough about Dolly Parton. It is time for the news, everybody. Very excited for a Tuesday news session with Mabali Moloi. Let's get into it.
Okay, there are at least three people who are not excited about this Tuesday morning, Gareth. That would include Mark Warona Zinde, who is Hope Zinde's son,
sure,
who was in court yesterday. It also includes Henry van Breda. Flex, you asked what happens next. He's actually going to be in court this morning in Stellenbosch to face three counts of murder and one of attempted murder. Counts of murder. That's like life in prison, isn't it?
Chopping. No, let's just be clear about this. It's not just like he put a bit of bleach in their coffee.
No.
He chopped them all into little bits with an axe. All right?
Yeah.
This is a serious thing.
So, yes, he'll make an appearance in court today to face those charges.
And who's the other person? You said there were three.
Well, Oscar Pistorius. You know, his sentencing and mitigation continues today. So a quick wrap-up of what happened yesterday is basically the guy who's been treating Oscar Pistorius, Dr. Schultz, psychiatrist/psychologist, I can't remember, he basically went in there yesterday and he said that Oscar is doing worse than he's ever done before. He's suffering from all kinds of things, from PTS syndrome to, you know, he's completely stressed out. You know, basically painting the picture that he's worse off. Wah. And, you know, he's having a difficult time.
Of course he's having a difficult time.
To which Gerinel basically said, so how about you tell us, for example, what medication is Oscar Pistorius taking? How much is the dosage? To which Dr. Schultz said, I don't know. I don't know what medication is on. So you've been treating this guy who is apparently in such a bad way, but you don't know anything about his medication that he requires.
Wow. Devastating.
Yep. So that continues again this morning. Mitigation and aggravation is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple of messages here and stuff that we just finished off on, but we've got to go back to it. So first of all, let's see here. Lots of compliments for Flax on that song. Let's see. Flax has been choosing epic music over the past few weeks. This was no exception. Flax, you are becoming a man. Soon you will be wearing normal length shirts with buttons and you will choose one hairstyle for the rest of your life. Kevin says, I'm so glad Apple didn't waste money on LinkedIn. And Roscoe says, Apple's making inroads into the business sector with partnerships with SAP, etc. So Microsoft might be getting nervous and that's why they bought LinkedIn. And then Flax, you are a surprise every day, says Michelle. I could sing along. Isn't that nice? Huh? And then Andrew says, Jolene by Dolly. And Ian loved the Dolly Parton. So lots of compliments on that. Yeah, Oscar Pistorius, wow, wow, wow. Let's just see what happens. I mean, all of this is kind of, it's a bit of a downer after, you know, the events of the last 3 years. I feel like we just want to get going with this thing and get the guy into jail and let him start serving his sentence and, you know, see if he can come right.
At what stage can he actually just have some dignity here? That's what I would like to see in this whole thing.
What do you mean?
Because it's always like, oh, it's excuses, and I didn't mean to, and it's crying, and it's vomiting. At what stage does he just stand up and go, yeah, okay, cool, I did it. I'll take this on the chin, let's get this over with now. It's just constantly...
Well, he's got to do this for sympathy so that he can get a shorter
sentence. A lighter sentence, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just...
He's got to do this. In fact, now he's got to really bring on the theatrics. Now he's got to perform... He's going to cry. He's going to vomit. He's anything he can do right now.
No, but he needs to do something different. We've seen the vomiting before and the crying. We've even seen pictures of him with like snot running out of his nose. He needs to up it up, you know, take it a step up. It can't be the same performance as last time.
Shame. Shame.
Shame. It is true. We need something new. Any ideas? What would you do?
Pull your hair out?
You could pull out huge chunks of hair. That would be a good one.
Yeah, something.
That would be quite disturbing.
That would be being truly committed to the role.
You know what really proves that you're having a really terrible time?
What?
Blood from the eyes.
Oh.
Always. If you bleed from the eyes, you're in deep shit.
Yeah, but you need like a tropical disease for that. You can't just bleed from the eyes.
You know.
People will suddenly go, oh, holy shit, this is bad. I mean, if you bleed from the eyes, you're really in trouble.
You have to like sodomize a Peruvian man-bear pig or something like that with a chesty cough before that could happen.
Has he collapsed in court yet?
Collapse, that's a good one.
Yeah, Michael, good thinking.
Any other ideas?
I mean...
How about lose a tooth? Have an actual tooth fall out of his mouth while he's busy talking.
Tourette's?
Tourette's.
You can fake Tourette's? Yeah.
Lose his voice.
Yes.
Lose his voice completely, no sound coming out.
Stare into the distance a lot.
Yeah. Maybe he could fake a mental breakdown. You know, to the point where they put him in a straitjacket and he's drooling from his mouth because he's unable to speak.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Well, I guess the ultimate is still poo in your pants. Because then you really know you've lost everything. You've lost all hope. You've lost all semblance of dignity.
Poo in your pants, that's a good one, Ben. Because if you do that...
Because it's so awkward. Everyone's like, oh, he's shat himself. And then they'll be like, oh, I know. It's too far, guys. You can't put this guy in prison.
Because you wouldn't even know, right? You wouldn't realize until you smelt it.
Oh.
I mean, that's how you'd know. What would happen? Would they clear the courtroom?
Ew. What'd
they do?
They'd have to.
Oh, no. Mm.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, what would he do? Because it's not like he goes to court with a change of clothes. So would he just have to like sit?
It would be worth it. Because if the judge finds out that you shat yourself, she's going to know there's some serious problems there. Then that you really are not handling this very well. Forget the psychiatrist and Harry Nell. None of that will matter if he shits himself. Right? Good idea, Ben.
Trust Ben to come up with that idea.
Yeah, look, we scraped the bottom of the barrel here.
Ew!
My lady.
Yeah, that's about it. All right. Shame, guys. Oscar heard someone being raped in jail, and the wardens brought people around at night to view him. What? 20 years, Aussie. 20 years, my China. Ciao, says Anushka. So not a whole lot of sympathy from Anushka. I don't know. I mean, he's going to go for, what, 8 to 10 years? That's going to be what it is. That's what the wise people are saying.
Who are the wise people?
I don't know, the people who know this stuff.
No, but are they actual wise people? Because you know there are a lot of...
Oh, there's everyone...
They're a lot of experts whenever stories like
expert,
this. Yeah.
Jesus. Listen, I would not like to go to prison. Let me tell you something.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I see that there isn't a hell of a lot of sympathy for Oscar Pistorius. And, you know, Ben just said, like, where's the dignity? Like, why aren't you owning up to it? But if you were in his shoes, you would be doing the exact same thing, right?
Oh. Yes.
You would be... summoning all kinds of things that are available to you to prevent you from being in prison.
Definitely.
No human in the history of humanity has ever wanted to go to jail.
It's the worst.
Yeah, no, fair point.
And I don't imagine, like, he spent a little bit of time in there already, right?
Yeah, 10 months, wasn't it?
So now he's... And listen, 10 months is a long time too.
And then he got out, and now he has to go back in again.
Which is almost like torture, right?
Yeah, it's a...
So, I mean, whether you like Oscar Pistorius or not, that's immaterial. The real question here is, just imagine yourself in that situation. You've got to go to jail. That food is so terrible. It must be cold. Can you imagine how cold it is in jail right now? concrete and steel everywhere. Yeah.
There are no electric blankets.
Yeah.
There are no...
Oh, hell no.
Blankets.
There are no blankets. You got one of those old, rough, coarse blankets.
What about the
toilets? Feet are always cold. Toilets. Well, the toilets are built into the cells.
Inside. So when you poop, you have to smell it while you're sitting there.
Yeah. Oh, it's right inside your... Well, yeah. It's the same room.
Ew.
But you got good ventilation because you've got bars.
Oh, my God.
Instead of windows. So you just open all of that. Poor guy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And then I did also mention Hope's son, right? So after his brief court appearance yesterday, that was in the Brits Magistrate Court.
There's another monster.
He has now got to undergo psychiatric evaluation after being charged with his mother's murder.
You know, I'm kind of horrified by all three of these. Henry van Breda, Oscar, and this guy. But I mean, the worst is Henry van Breda, right? I mean, he went at his own family with an axe. Oscar didn't kill his own family. He used a gun, and then Hope Zinde's son used a weight to bludgeon her to death, and then just left her in the car for 6 days.
Yeah, but his mother, Joe.
I know, that's a big deal. Yeah, that's true. I don't know if... Listen, my mother, at her worst, I wouldn't kill her.
Like,
at her worst, I don't even think I could stay angry with her for long. Imagine what happened there. Must be drugs, right?
Well, this is the thing. He is also being charged with possession of drugs. So you have to wonder, was this guy high when he killed his mother?
He must have been. Did Henry van Breda also, he was on tick or something, wasn't he?
He had some sort of tick-related tendencies.
He had a dealer. He had a dealer he was talking to.
He was in rehab for a short stint, apparently.
Right.
Prior to this, of course.
So we got some problems. What's going on with young men in this country? What's happening? I mean, these are three different examples, but all three very angry, very violent, very dangerous people. And these are all rich people. Have you noticed that? Henry van Breda lived in this gated community in Stellenbosch.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar had obviously lots of success and money.
Well, he was an international star.
And then Hope Zinde,
international puss.
Hope Zinde lived in Pekinwood Estate, which is at the heart of Beersport Dam, and she obviously had a nice big house. And he grew up kind of in a nice middle class existence, you'd imagine.
Well, I mean, if your mother was a former board member of the SABC, you don't imagine that you grew up poor.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are not poor people. So, everybody's always scared of the poor, you know, like the poor are going to come and do things. You should be scared of the rich. The rich are way more fucked up. They're on drugs because they can afford the drugs.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it just reminds you this fear of, you know, and the crime in South Africa being done by some stranger don't know.
It's going to be your boyfriend.
All three of these men killed people that they knew and loved.
It's going to be your son, your boyfriend, or another family member. First and foremost. We know this, though. This is the funny thing about crime, is it's totally irrational, and it usually comes from close. It doesn't come from far. The number of people who, like, some opportunist walking down the street and they see that your window's open in your house, they're going to get in and rob you, obviously. But that is the minority of cases. The majority of cases where violent crime is a problem, where the victim is known to the aggressor, right?
At least in these three cases it is.
Well, I mean, look at these three. Unbelievable.
You knew.
Yes, well, you couldn't guess, but you knew. I reckon that poor Hope Zinde probably knew her son was a crackpot. Couldn't do anything, though. What are you going to do? Send your son off to mental hospital?
I don't know.
What do you do?
That's true, huh? But children will turn on you. I think this is something else to learn here.
The funniest part of this story is you hear that while her body was in the boot of the Range Rover, he's looking out of the curtains in the house and then hiding. I mean...
I mean, you have to seriously question whether or not he was high.
It's got to be.
He had to have been, right?
Yeah.
And then you leave your mother in the boot for, what, 6 days before she's eventually found?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I mean, that's...
And every time anyone knocks on the door, you pretend you're not there, and you go and hide, and then you look through the curtains as they leave. Wow, very scary. Screwed up people. Lots to think about. Aren't you happy that you're alive and that you haven't been killed by a family member? Small mercies.
Yeah, who would have thought? All right. Let's change things up a gear for a second and move away from the frightening and horrible.
All right.
To you decide if this is just the ridiculous. I don't imagine any of you are familiar with the reality TV show called Married at First Sight.
But, wait, hold on. Let me say something to you.
That's a crazy show.
What is it? Tell me about it. Bashita, you've seen it.
I think I know a little bit of it. These people have just met. They don't even know each other. And they marry them off immediately. Without even having... They don't know each other that well. From
that
what
sounds,
I got a
snippet
of
like
it.
That sounds like a very bad idea.
Yeah.
That sounds like it can only end in tears.
It it's kind of a modern day arranged marriage, if you will. Some kind of social experiment, I imagine, these people were doing. So what they've done is that they've taken singles who have failed to find love, right? Then they get a team of experts who select their perfect partner, and they base their selections on a whole bunch of stuff. The couples then meet for the very first time at the altar, and they get married. And then what they have to do is they have to move in together immediately after that for 6 weeks of marriage. After 6 weeks, they get to make a choice. Either they stay together or they file for divorce. So that's the premise of the show. It's called Married at First Sight.
You know, and some people have a problem with gay marriage. there's a reality TV show that you meet at the first time you meet at the altar, and then they have a 6 week process where you decide whether you're going to stay together or get divorced. And people have a problem with two loving human beings who want to be together.
Yeah, because, you know, gay marriage ruins the sanctity, Gareth.
Marriage is so sacred.
It's
listen to this.
It's so sacred.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's now been turned into a profitable reality TV show.
Right.
But not only that, folks, it's also coming to South Africa.
Uh-huh.
Yay.
Uh-huh.
Married at First Sight is coming to SA. So, what?
Should we be excited about that?
What criteria are they looking for here?
This is... You're just going to be married off to the highest blesser.
Right.
No. Look, as far as I can remember from what I saw of the American version of the show, part of the experts included like a sex therapist or whatever, because, you know, sex is important in marriage.
Sure.
I think there was also a pastor or someone, because, you know, the whole spiritual side of marriage is also important.
You dumb bitch.
There must have been a psychologist or psychiatrist as well. But there's this team of experts, and then they all go through this laborious process of matching two people. And then the two meet for the first time at the altar, and then they have to get married and stick it out for 6 weeks.
I want to see all those people who think that marriage is a sacred thing. I want to see them complaining about this TV show. I bet you there won't be one person protesting outside the studio. Not one. Oh, marriage is a sacred thing. It's God's bond, blah, blah, blah. Where are they now? It's a TV show. Your marriage is being turned into a show to entertain other people. And they'll laugh and gossip and joke and cajole you. And when you fail and you end up separating and divorcing, people will laugh at you. And this is the sanctity of marriage. That's what this is. You know, people don't take any of this stuff seriously, huh?
What do you mean? They don't take the...
I was listening to a podcast. There's a guy called Adam Carolla in America. He does a really good podcast. And he was saying... He doesn't understand, and I totally agree with him. It was like he was speaking from my mind. He said, I do not understand why there are so many people who make really, really shitty, irresponsible decisions and then expect everyone to help them. Like getting married to someone on a reality TV show is an example of that. And then because these are singles who just can't find love. That's how you started the story.
Yes.
So there's the problem. There's a reason you're single and you can't find love. Because you're probably crazy. Or very ugly. Or there's something horrible wrong with you. Like you've got a rotten foot or something. Right?
A rotten foot. Of all the problems to have. A rotten
foot. You've
got
something wrong with you. So you're single. So you're single and you're lonely and you're never going to find anyone. Tough. The last thing we need is someone like you breeding. Making more of you. Pashita's dying over here. What's wrong, Pashita, the intern? She doesn't like this.
It's just, you're cutting off all hope. There's already single, depressed people, and you're just making it worse.
You know what? I believe in the power of negative thinking. Remind people the reality is very hard, and things do not get better.
You know what I hate? I hate those people that think there's like an algorithm to love and happiness, that think that one man and one woman can fill out a freaking spreadsheet of yes and no answers, and if they match, then they're doomed for eternal love. Like, love is something that just happens. You can't force it. It either happens or it doesn't happen. There's no matchmaker that can fill in an online profile and match it with somebody else and say, you're supposed to get married. That's love. Have kids. Live a happy life and die happy together.
It doesn't happen for most people anyway. Even if you do find the right person, you end up eventually falling out of love. That's just how it works 99% of the time. If you end up happily together forever with someone, you are the luckiest person.
It's luck.
You've just won your number in roulette. You should be so thrilled. Kevin says the show must have been started by a divorce lawyer.
Okay.
I mean, if you've actually found love in your life, that's just marvelous. But most people don't. Most people are miserable.
Shame.
Even inside relationships, people are miserable. Don't feel sorry for single people. Feel sorry for people trapped in loveless marriages. That's got to be the worst. Where you have to pretend for the kids. Or you have to pretend that you like this fat old man who you married to. Who once was an attractive guy who you had some feelings for, but now he just farts in bed. Gets home and grumbles and watches sport and doesn't talk to you very much. It stinks.
You know what?
Has hair in places you didn't even know had places.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I equate love to?
What?
You know you love someone when you're prepared to die instead of them because you know how unhappy you'd be if they died.
Yeah.
So you'd rather take the bullet and die instead of them. Then you love somebody. That's what love means in my life. To a gangster like me.
There we go. Oh, that's so moving, Flex. So would you die for Liz?
Yeah.
You would?
I would rather die.
Would you throw yourself in front of a train to save her?
Because I know how unhappy I would live my life after if she had died.
How's that relationship going, by the way?
It's going very well.
Oh, good.
We've just introduced themed dinner nights. So one night we'll have Mexican, one night we have Indian.
Well, that is
and
nice.
I cook dinners.
Nice work,
that's
dude.
That's a good move, Flex.
So you work a hard day's work and then you come home and you slave over the hot stove.
I spend my Sunday preparing a list of what meals we'll have Monday to Friday so that we can buy lettuce and use it on Monday and Tuesday so we don't freaking waste it.
This lettuce then, really bothers you.
Yeah.
You've brought up the lettuce 5 times.
Working nine
I just
to
think
five.
The quantity they sell lettuce in is bullshit.
That's Flex. Unfortunately how lettuces grow, Michael.
I gotta tell you something. I'm very impressed that you're doing this. This is all a very mature thing to be involved in. You're keeping life interesting, you're doing different meals together.
You got to. Relationships die out because you let the flame die out. If you keep the flame alight by keeping the relationship fun and spontaneous, then it lasts.
Beautiful.
You can't just wake up next to each other, go to work, then go to sleep next to each other and call it a relationship.
How's the third wheel in your relationship?
My mother.
Yeah.
She wants us to move in for the winter. She thinks her house is warmer.
Whoa. She
wants you to move in for the winter.
Yeah. You and Liz to move in.
Jesus. Yeah. And we've got dinner with my mom tonight, so I think she's going to gun for it. She's going to be like, guys, you got an electric blanket. Like, move in.
She just wants... It's amazing how much control she needs, huh?
She just wants me to move back into her house.
Oh, dear.
Are you spending every night with Liz now?
Yeah, we spend every night at the house.
Wow,
it was weird how it started off rocky with my mom not letting me, like, sleep over all the time. But then she was, like, so chilled.
Well, you broke away. You did well.
You sort of got to just break the ice and then swim like a polar bear.
And then is her brother, who's the bodyguard, still living with her?
Yeah.
Well, then she's still got him to focus on.
Yeah, I guess so. And I bet hardly use any money from my mom anymore. Good. The last time I swiped her credit card must have been like
That's the mom and me credit card.
Yeah, mommy and me credit card.
Right.
And now I'm basically independent minus a few things.
Nice work, Flex. This is very good.
Mm. The future is bright.
Isn't this great? Look at where you were a year or two ago. And look at how much has changed. You've got an awesome girlfriend. Remember, you were whoring around town.
Yeah.
You've got an awesome girlfriend. You've settled down. You've got a place of your own. You're making different themed dinners Monday to Friday. I mean, what a life.
That is what life is. It's about finding your own lane. And once you find your own lane, you put full throttle down and you just go for it.
Right. Well, this is what you're doing. I'm proud of you. I think a lot of people would be jealous of this life of yours.
Listen, everyone's going to find their lane at one point in their life. It's a matter of when. Don't think your life is just going to end up with you having nothing, not having a relationship, not having money. You will find your lane and you will get everything you want.
Anushka says, I love Flax. Eternal optimist, this kid. Ankia says, Flax, just get a lettuce tupper dish already. Your lettuce will last a week and your life will be changed.
Guys,
stop talking about lettuce.
I opened up an Avo last night and I was legit thinking, should I keep this pip and plant it?
Because you want a sustainable, what is it?
I want one of those, vegetable gardens on the patio of my little flat.
Right, do it. You can grow stuff. You actually can. You might even have some success. All right, but enough about you and your domestic issues. I'm glad we did a little catch up there. Tell Liz we say hi. We still want to have her in here for a brief discussion about your love
life.
No,
she's off limits.
Really?
Off limits.
Really?
You got to keep some stuff private from work.
All right, I'll see if I can handle that.
Let her remain a mystery.
No, I think that the audience want to know what kind of a person Liz is. We'll eventually have to get her in here. All right, Mubs, back to you in the news.
All right, so let me quickly wrap up this married at first sight thing. In terms of the criteria, only single men and women can enter, and you have to be between the ages of 24 and 36.
Oh, yeah?
So, Flex, you're far too young for this show. You have to have never been married before, and you also have to have never had children.
Huh.
Yeah.
No kids.
No kids.
Because that complicates things. It really does. I have a friend who, I think they're going to get married. He met this woman, and she's got a kid. And she's lovely and the kid is lovely and he's in there. But you know that the other guy, the father of the kid, is always going to be in the picture, right? Yeah, he's always going to be around. And that does make things difficult. I mean, let's not mess with each other here. Everybody says, oh, it doesn't matter and if you love each other. But it's an extra challenge. It's an extra bit of strain.
Baby mama drama.
Right. Don't need that. So yeah, okay, single. And then they get together at the altar.
For the first time.
And then 6 weeks later, they check out whether or not it's working. If it's working, they stick together.
If it's not, they file for divorce.
And we all get to watch this as part of a reality TV show.
Yep.
Class.
Right, and we beautiful. Get to laugh when it crashes and burns.
Yeah, I suppose that's where the fun will come. People love seeing other people's relationships fail because it makes them feel better about their own shitty relationships, right?
Mm.
Well, I'm not into that. I like seeing people happily together. And I'm not even a romantic guy, but I like seeing it. Isn't it nice when you see a couple that really love each other? Pashita's looking at me like she doesn't understand or agree. She
thinks, I don't believe you.
I am. I'm happy when I see a couple who love each other.
Lies.
I promise you.
I will believe it when I see it.
How do I prove this to you? I mean, if I'm around people that are in love, I'm very happy. I'm cynical about my own love life, but I'm very happy around people who love each other.
Okay.
Oh, trust me on this one. I mean, look at how well it's going with Ben and Daniela. You two. You're also a model couple.
Yeah, pretty good.
No, you are. You do. You keep things interesting too. Right? You two go on little breaks away together.
As much as we can, yeah. It's very important. But that's the cool thing about being with someone that you want to be with, is that there isn't just like one activity. There's a whole host of things. Like we can go to sporting things or, you know, more traditional coupley things. Doesn't make a difference.
And you do coupley things, but you two also do separate stuff that you don't need to be involved in each other's business, right?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, so you got to get away from each other a little bit. If you're in each other's faces the whole time, it can get very awkward. And then you've got your child, the cat meowses.
Yeah, meowses.
Which also helps.
Yeah, that cat.
That cat.
That relationship is actually a threesome.
Totally.
It's not just Ben and Daniela.
And the most important constituent is the cat.
Yeah.
Well, she's in the middle. She sleeps in the middle of those every night.
Right.
And she makes that very particular. So she's enjoying life in winter. Electric blankets, heaters, cuddles.
This is the night at the Karpinskys. Okay, enough of that nonsense. What else is going on?
Meowses.
Yeah?
So obviously there has been a lot of news coverage following the Orlando shooting that took place over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The spotlight very quickly moving on to the shooter's father. This would be Omar Mir Sadiq Mateen.
Oh, he doesn't sound like he's from a Muslim country at all.
He went on to CNN and was speaking to Don Lemon, and he had a whole bunch of things to say about his son. Amongst them, he said, "This is the worst thing that can happen for a father, to see a son act like this. Ugh. I wish I had an opportunity to talk to him about why he did what he did." He also recounted an incident when his son had seen two men kissing in public, and he said that had given his son a kind of reaction. He refused to elaborate on exactly what kind of reaction he was talking about. But you know, he also said that his son didn't suffer from any mental health issues as far as he was concerned, and he also said that he was not aware of him being a terrorist.
He was just a dick.
Can you imagine this poor father? This guy probably left some horrible place like Syria or Iraq or
Afghanistan.
Oh my God, even worse. So he left Afghanistan to give his children a better life, and his kid comes to America, and he's so obsessed with like how gay guys should not be doing gay stuff instead of just getting on with his life, that he decides he wants to go into a nightclub and shoot people. I mean, we don't know. He might have been unstable. He might have been on something. But he could just have been a bigot. It's entirely possible that he's just a bigot who was informed by very serious religious convictions.
And the parent is always the last one to know when the child is a psycho. Let's be honest. If they're planning something, the parent would be the last one to know. Of course, he wouldn't have known.
See, that's why. I'll tell you what. Today, two examples of why I'm definitely not having kids. The first one, Hope Zinde's kid. The second one, Henry Van Breda. These kids will come and kill you. Don't have them. They'll kill you eventually.
It's like we're days away until that Japanese kid. He's going to do the same to his parents.
Yeah, the one who was left to fend for himself in the forest.
That's coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
Yeah, then we have Crooked Hillary.
According to the Daily Mail, this guy, this shooter's father, is apparently also running for president in Afghanistan. Now, those elections are said to be taking place. The shooter's father is apparently running for president, according to the Daily Mail. It's very difficult to keep track of all the different sources of information, especially when they're coming at you at 100 kilometers per second. He apparently hosts a show on YouTube, but he lives in California. He was living on the same street as his son. And so authorities did a thorough search of his house as well. But they said that the worst thing that they found about this shooter's father is that he has an unpaid parking ticket. So, you know, they're pretty satisfied that there's nothing suspicious there. Yeah, so he's visited Congress, the State Department. He's met a whole bunch of political leaders during a trip in Washington, which took place in April. And apparently he's running for president of Afghanistan.
From California.
Well, this is where it gets confusing, Daily Mail. I don't know what to make of your story.
Afghanistan really has to have run out of options if there's some guy from California can run for president. I mean, surely you have to be in the country to run for president. That's number one, right? Imagine if we were voting for a president who lives in Belgium for South Africa. That's insane.
And then gun stocks apparently trended sharply higher on Monday morning. This is a day after the shooting took place. And according to an analyst, this is typical behavior of when something happens, People fear for their lives, they get scared, and the first thing that they do is they go out and buy guns. Now, here's an interesting statistic. Apparently, there are more guns in America than there are Americans.
Sure. No, definitely.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So, yeah. People went out and stocked up on even more guns. Now, Al Jazeera reported something which I must say wasn't reported by a whole lot of international media. They have reported that at least 224 people have been killed in the first week of Ramadan, and this is in Syria. Nice. With the majority of the deaths resulting from bombings by Syrian and Russian warplanes. The Syrians have accused the Russians. The Russian authorities have denied any involvement. But among the 224 people are 148 civilians, including 50 children and 15 women, who were killed as helicopters dropped explosive barrel bombs on them. This is just in 1 week, guys. 224 people killed in Syria.
Apparently, I'm seeing Gorka have just released a story. Now, I don't know, when Gorka are involved, you don't know whether it's true or not.
Well, you know, their credibility is a bit suspect.
Gorka have released the story that the Orlando shooter was reportedly a regular at Pulse Gay Nightclub and had a profile on a gay dating app.
But that's what we've always said, right? The guys that hate the gay people the most, they are just repressing, repressed individuals.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't that be disturbing? I mean, that's precisely what we've always said. Wherever it's closest to the bone, that's where the pain is. So this guy was obviously dealing with, on one hand, trying to be a good Muslim. You can't be gay and be a good Muslim. On the other hand, he had feelings for men, wanted guys. He's had this, I mean, this is if Gorka is to be believed. And it does make sense. Because then, you know what happens. He can't reconcile the two. He thinks on one hand, I'm gay, I'm going to go to hell. On the other hand, he's into guys. He wants to go to this club. He wants to be on this gay dating app. It makes perfect sense. So he self-destructs. And while he's going down, he takes down what he thinks are other sinners so that he can get to heaven. Because that's how religion poisons the mind. Unbelievable, huh? I mean, if that's true, we don't know whether to believe Gorka or not, because they're not the greatest source in the world and they are just about to go bankrupt. They filed for bankruptcy. So that would mean if this is true, it explains everything. According to what we've already discussed 1,000 times on the show, you know, if you're the world's biggest racist is the one who's desperately lusting for someone of that race. The world's biggest homophobe is someone who's secretly gay. These are not new stories. The King Lear example that I quote time and time again of the policeman who lashes the whore because he has a hot desire to use her for the purpose for which he punishes her. That's what they say. So I don't know. It's just all awful. The fact that all those innocent people are dead because this guy couldn't reconcile these two things in his head. Again, if that's the case. And even if it isn't. The fact that he had such screwed up convictions about how to behave in a socially responsible way. It's just madness. All right, Mubs, anything else?
I do believe we do have to get to Dickheads of History today. Are we doing that?
Oh, it's time.
Yeah,
Dickheads of History.
Gareth was going to pull your birthday move on me there. I could see it in his eyes.
No.
He was going to forget all
of
that.
By the way, we all brought Mubs some presents. What have you got there from Flex, Mubs? You want to tell us what you've got in your... Birthday surprise, Flex, go on, you can explain it too.
I thought you would like this because you just moved into your, well, I wouldn't say just moved in, but it's basically still a new house. And
this is a sign that I can hang on my wall. It says, don't cry over spilt milk, it could have been wine. Flex, you are wise.
And then I have a puke bucket.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, it's an ice bucket.
I was going to go with an ice bucket, but puke bucket, it could double up as that. And it reads, a drink is always a good idea.
Yes, oh, nice.
Yes, Flex.
Isn't that cool?
You are so right.
Smart. See some wise quotes to run by.
All right, very, very nice.
Thank you.
And then I got you a little something too, Mabs, which I hope you'll like. You never know.
Well, I like the wrapping that my gift comes in. It reminds me of like a minute, like a baby Cookie Monster.
Yeah, it's a monster bag.
Oh, it's very cute. Okay, let's see here. Oh, the words and inspiration of Desmond Tutu, Believe.
Yeah, how's that?
Wow, Gareth.
You like?
I love this. Thank you.
Who doesn't like the arch, right? I was trying to think maybe I should get you something, and I thought the only guy that we really like, everybody likes, is the arch. He's the one guy in South Africa who everybody's in love with.
And I'm warning you. I really am warning you, out of love.
Right.
Thank you very much. This is very special.
All right, what a pleasure. And did you have some kind of family connection to him?
I didn't, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, a cousin of mine does, but there's no connection to me.
All right, well, there we go. All right, it's time for Dickheads of History, everybody. This is where we get, and as if we don't have enough stories this morning in the news about these kinds of people, now we're going to find out about some really horrible human beings.
This week it is... Yeah. Ivan the Terrible.
Oh, I love this guy.
Not Ivan the Baker, not Ivan the Teacher, not Ivan the Florist, no, Ivan the Terrible. He was a giant dickhead. It's all in the name. See, back in those days, names were rather descriptive, so you know this guy is a massive dickhead.
Well, if you called the Terrible,
yeah,
it's not normally a sign that you were a great leader.
And his family wasn't all that bad. I mean, his grandfather was Ivan the Great.
That's true.
Anyway, so Ivan the Terrible, he was the first ever Tsar of Russia. He acquired vast amounts of land during his reign from 1533 to 1584.
Right.
And of course, in order to do so, he had to dick around a lot of people. So, let's get into it. Early life, there's some key dickhead characteristics here. I mean, they all play to a certain script, don't they? So, he was quite a complex boy, but he was prone to uncontrollable fits of rage. He really was. He was an angry little shit, was this Ivan Chetvorty Vasilevich. He was born in 1530, okay?
Oh.
His father, any guesses of his name?
Also Ivan?
No, it was just Basil the Third.
Oh, Basil the Third.
Basil the Third. Anyway, so Basil the Third, he died when Ivan was 3. See, it's just not fair on these little dickheads. They always lose parents. So he essentially was, he was in power from there for age of 3 because he was the next in line. But his mother realized, obviously, far too young, Ivan, you're still shitting your pants and you know, you can't even blow your own nose. So I'll take power. But the boyar class, okay, so these people were the people below the Tsar, essentially. So they were like your upper class,
right?
Well-to-dos. They were like, no, screw this. You should not be in charge. And the boyars and the mother were always at odds with each other. So much so that young Ivan spent a lot of time in the dungeon because the mother was busy. She was working 9 to 5.
Really? So the dungeon's the best place to send him?
So he was, yeah, and he had a very lonely childhood. But, of course, he was left to his own devices, and he was running around. And when he wasn't in the dungeon, he kind of was into torturing animals. All these dickheads, you know, time and time again. You want to know what the value of a child? Look how they treat small animals.
Right, always.
Ivan was doing that. He was also raping and killing people as soon as he was old enough to do so. And he drank a lot of beer. But he wasn't completely without culture, though. He read huge amounts. And he was very fond of playing the trombone. But then his mother died, Gareth. So Ivan, at the age of 8, was parentless. But he had and the country was essentially in ruin. So he continued to educate himself so he could become a leader, right? And he came to power in 1547, where he was officially the Tsar of Moscow. And he was a pretty good leader in the beginning. So people weren't going, okay, you know, he's Ivan. He's not Ivan the Terrible just yet. He's Ivan the Young Ruler. Mm-hmm. And he assembled solid advisors and a consensus-building assembly to help him implement much-needed reforms.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Russia was not in a good state back then. He also instituted self-governing in rural areas. He improved the tax system and instituted sensible laws around the country and threw a bit of Jesus in there as well.
Well, so far not too bad.
Not at all.
Right.
But he hated the boyar class, right? These people, these rich people, he hated them so much. And
well, because they'd fought with his mommy.
And he believed they'd poisoned his mother. That's why she died. So he started restricting their services towards the crown, okay? Then foreign policy came in the mix, and he had two basic ideas. He had to kind of make sure that those Mongols wouldn't invade and rape all the women and steal everything. But he also wanted to gain access to the Baltic Sea. Now, if you know anything about geography, you know Russia's pretty big.
Right.
And if you know anything about Sochi and how Vlad wanted cool things there, well, Sochi wouldn't be Russia if it wasn't for Ivan the Terrible, because
but
he
that's
expanded.
The Black Sea, right? Are you talking about the Baltic? That would have been St. Petersburg.
Oh, sorry, okay.
That's
yeah.
all right.
But yeah, so he expanded Russian territories. But of course, by doing this, he had to do a spot of invading. And that meant a lot of people, well, learned what a dick he really was. So he would torture people. He would kill people. He got everyone on his side. He did like a bit of a mini Genghis Khan. Because what he wanted Russia to be the new Rome. That was his thing. But when all people become a little bit too power hungry, well, they become giant dicks. And this is what happened to old Ivan. So Ivan realized that the more he tried to expand, the more vulnerable and disrupted his own economy became. So the country became weaker. So he turned on those boyars again, okay? So he stole their land and distributed it amongst his supporters. He gave the whole EFF approach. He was going to seize all the land and give it to the poor.
Right.
And then he created a police force dressed completely in black, from black horses to black everything. And they literally went around and stomped out anyone who got out of control. So he went from being a decent young ruler to being an absolute dickhead. And then he became known as Ivan the Terrible. Because he was literally that. He was terrible to people, which led to his terrible years, essentially. Most of that got down to the fact that his wife died in 1560, okay? So he became very, very depressed. And his mood swings were just terrible, terrible, terrible. Again, the boyars, well, they felt the wrath. He was killing them. He was wiping out the families. The paranoia was setting in so much that he wiped them out, and he was just taking the land and taking all the possessions. And like a little spoiled brat, okay? So now he was on a good way. But like a real sport little shit, he was like, I'm leaving. I'm not taking this job anymore. I'm leaving Moscow. I can't deal with this. And he knew that all the upheaval from this would make the place worse off. So then they're like, no, Ivan, you got to come back. And he knew this. So he was like, okay, cool. I will come back on certain terms. So he basically said, and he completely exploited the position. He said he demanded authority. Mm-hmm. To punish anyone that he thought was a traitor or a lawbreaker, okay? And punishment, of course, meant that he could then murder without any problems whatsoever, and he could confiscate all their property and possessions. So he went for the next 24 years on an absolute terrible tirade. The boyars were basically wiped out. He could kill whoever he wanted to, and this is what made him such a massive dickhead of history, is that he manipulated law to back him. So he would do whatever he wanted. He created an extra secret police to be even more secretive and even more terrible towards people. He even beat up his own pregnant daughter-in-law to the point that she miscarried. In a fit of rage, he hit his own son with a lead pole to the back of the head. He died.
Yeah.
He even blinded. What a dick. He blinded the architect of St. Basil's Cathedral.
Well, it's the most famous church in Russia.
Yeah. So the guy was, he created something, no, I'm going to blind you. I'm such a dick. I hate everyone, including you. So all of these shitstorms were just mounting and mounting and mounting, and Ivan quite rightly became one of the biggest dicks in history. Sure, he expanded Russia, and he gave them something to be proud of, but the guy was a very unpopular ruler, and his own paranoia started setting in and became more and more unplayable, to the point where his health then started to desert him, and he became obsessed with death. He became obsessed with having soothsayers and witches coming to his bedside to
witches.
Kind of deal with them. He had witches, yeah. And eventually the dickhead died in 1584 from a stroke. Huh. So there was nothing really noble about his life, and very little was written about him. There's very few records about him. But he had dreadful children as well. They were either completely handicapped, or, well, he killed the only good one. So he left Russia into absolute ruin. He left one of his gonk children to look after it. And Russia, for a century afterwards, was in complete and utter disarray. Huge amounts of poverty. The boyars were all dead, basically. He ruined the country. And only until Peter the Great came back and steadied the ship about 100 years later. Ivan the Terrible, it was a massive dickhead of history. He was a tempestuous bastard, really. Hmm. He was just angry. He was aggressive. And he had little regard for animals or other people's lives. So it's a good thing that he is gone, and he'll go down, as always, as a dickhead of history.
Oh, what a horrible human being. You think he was worse than Henry van Breda?
Similar, very similar. I think they must go and see how Henry treated small animals as a child. I bet he mutilated them, abused them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always a sign, right?
Ivan was such a dick. He used to throw cats out of the top of the Kremlin to see if they could fly. He used to pull birds apart for fun.
You see,
he was
like
such a dick.
You know there's a problem when the minute a child wants to hurt a small animal, then you know there's a problem. That's always the giveaway. Isn't that right? Okay, it's almost 8 o'clock. We've got Catherine Constantinides popping by. We've got Murray Ingram coming in. It's going to be very exciting. We'll talk to both of them in the next half hour to hour. And you can join us on 0861-555-189. That's the number to call us on, 0861-555-189. Let me tell you about this quickly. You want to know where we're doing our next premiere? It's happening at, listen to this, the IMAX 3D at Sterkinnicore and 4DX Scene Extreme at New Metro Cinemas. That's going to be at the Mall of Africa, I think.
Yes.
Yes. We always knew that they were coming back. Join the war and fight the invasion of this 24 June 2016 Independence Day Resurgence. That's the movie we're putting on for you. Using recovered alien technology, the nations of Earth have collaborated in an immense defense program to protect the planet. But nothing can prepare them for the aliens' advanced and unprecedented force. Only the ingenuity of a few brave men and women can bring our world back from the brink of extinction. You remember the first Independence Day with Will Smith, right? Wasn't it a great movie?
It was a classic.
Classic. It was awesome. My second favorite alien invasion movie ever.
Ever. Second I wanted to fight aliens just for that movie.
Was Mars Attack your first one?
How did you know?
Well, I know these things.
Mars Attacks, right? Isn't that great? Do you remember the song that kills the Martians in...
Amazing song.
Do you remember it? Slim Whitman, Indian Love Call, Mubs. Do you remember?
No, I do not.
Oh, you will. I'm going to let you remember. Here it is. Just for you.
Slim Whitman.
Oh, my God. Remember, the Martians hear this and their heads explode. Remember?
Oh, gosh.
That's great.
Slim Whitman just sounds like a Breaking Bad character.
Give it some credit.
When I'm calling you,
and the Martians' heads start vibrating and they just explode.
Will you answer to?
What a great song by Slim Whitman.
That means I offer my love to you.
All right, so if you want to come to Independence Day, you can join us. Experience Independence Day Resurgence in IMAX 3D at Sterkinnicore and 4DX Scene Extreme at New Metro Cinemas. Oh, yes, this is going to be very, very good. The movie starts on the 24th of June, 2016. Get your tickets at all the normal places, but you can buy them at the box office too. Yes, Flax, what's up?
Mars Attack was the first ever alien movie I watched, and I was so scared that for some reason at the end, you know that dude starts singing? It's not unusual.
Tom Jones.
My parents told me I'm related to him, but I think they lied.
You might be related to him?
He's a cousin of a cousin of mine.
Well, that's not a bad thing. He's a Lothario. Women love him.
Lothario?
It's sex god. Yeah, sex god, pretty much.
Sex bomb.
Sex bomb, that's Tom Jones. So you're related to him?
Well, he's a cousin of a cousin. But that movie still haunts me today.
What haunts you about it? It wasn't scary.
No, it was really scary.
But the Martians go, mack, 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 mack. They don't even talk.
No, they went evil and...
Dude, you were scared of that movie? How old were you?
It was when it came out. Oh, that was the end scene.
You didn't like this?
No.
This is your relative.
I can see him holding that mic stand
on
stage.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
He's great, Tom Jones.
It's not unusual.
Do you prefer that or Indian Love Call that I played you just now?
Well, I remember that Indian Love Call, and there's just dead silence. Next minute, pa, 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 pa.
The Duke of Edinburgh, who we were talking about yesterday, going through some of his famous quotes, he had some not nice things to say about Tom Jones. He said that he was a terrible singer. Asked him if he gargled with pebbles or something.
Jeez, he was full of insults. All right, well, there we go. We've learned a lot this morning. We learned that Flax is related to Tom Jones. Who knew that? We've learnt about the new Independence Day movie that's coming up at IMAX 3D at Sterkinnikor and 4DX Scenic Stream at New Metro Cinemas. It's all over the place. Independence Day Resurgence. I will go and see this movie. And this is one of the movies that you don't want to see at home or on your laptop. This is the kind of movie you need to see in the cinema. Right? I mean, we know, let's not mess around. I know lots of people download these movies illegally, watch them when it suits them. This is not one of those movies you want to watch on a small screen. Please. You'll be wasting your time. Go out there and watch the movie properly. All right, when we come back, we'll have Catherine Constantinides in here. She's got some interesting stuff to tell us. And it appears she's doing all kinds of very prestigious things. She's been selected as a Mandela Washington Fellow for 2016.
Mm.
Ah. Nice. She'll be leaving for America in the next 2 weeks. And we're going to talk to her about that, what it means, what she's going to be doing over there, all that kind of thing. And we'll also discuss her work with those, what are those people called again? The Sarara Hararara. What are they? They're named after
Sararis.
Sarawaharawaris. Those are the ones. Yes, those
are. Nearly
there. Shame, those poor people. Catherine's the only person in the world who even knows they exist. And she's doing her best to bring attention to them. These people have nothing. They live in the desert. They don't have a country. They don't belong to the country they're in. It's horrible. They don't have water. They don't have medical supplies. They're pretty much treated like second or third class citizens by the government of that country. So we'll find out all about what she's doing for them as well, because she's never let up on making sure that they're at the forefront of everything that she does. So on the way, Catherine Constantinides, and then we'll check in with Murray Ingram too, the co-founder and director of rugby at Connect Sports Academy. Ben met him a while ago. Ben said this is the guy when it comes to transformation in sport, when it comes to understanding the challenges of sport in South Africa. And everybody talks a big game, but this guy actually knows how the game works. And I'm not talking about the game of rugby on the field. I'm talking about all the things that happen behind the scenes to give young guys a chance to play rugby. And many of them don't get that chance. Just what kind of opportunities there are, slim as they may be, at township sport level. And we'll find out from Murray Ingram next. All of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com.